Good morning, everyone. I thank the Lord profusely for making it possible for me to speak to this morning and bring His message to you. There was a time that there were a number of families that were walking together. And why they were walking was they were trying to get away from a situation. It was a scary situation, and they were trying to get away from this. So what was happening was there was a group of people who were enemies to this group of people who were just trying to get away, and they were pursuing them at close. They were keeping up. And these people who were running away, fleeing, did not know what to do. And they had children, they had women, they had men. So for most part, the women and the men carried the children, put them on their shoulders, and started walking as fast as possible. But they realized that they could not keep up with the enemy. And at one point, like we always do, they turned around, looked at their leader and said, "Why did you do this to us?" Where I'm heading to is the story of Moses trying to lead the children of Israel. Now, God had performed many miracles in their midst, but they still could not believe that God was able to lead them out of any difficult situations. Aren't we sometimes like that? Right? Because right now we are going through a situation. It is sometimes beyond what we could do. Right? COVID situation. It's escalating. Where is this going to head? Where is this going to take us? We don't know. But like what Mr. Morland said, God is able to keep us safe. And there was a prayer request for Manuel. I know him very well. Manuel is in San Diego. There are people who follow the word of God very closely. They're very healthy people, and they went on a road trip. They're back, and then that's why he got COVID. And I think they should be okay because they eat healthy, they follow God, they do the right thing, so I'm sure that he's going to be okay. But there are situations where people had got COVID and have died. There are people who have got the vaccination and still got COVID and have passed away. Anyway, coming back to this story, so they were looking at Moses and said, "Why did you do this to us? We would have been better off staying in Egypt. Now we are being pursued by Pharaoh's army and we are going to be definitely killed." What do you think Moses said? He knew what he was doing. Because I'm sure Moses had such close communication with God. I mean, he saw God right there face to face, so he knew who he was serving. So he said to them, "Hold your peace, it is going to be okay." So my question is, what would have you done if you were Moses, or what would have you done if you were one of those people who were accusing Moses for not being a good leader? Right? So we can put ourselves in both the situations. And it's good for us to think, what would have we done? Right? But then eventually the ultimate result is, we have to understand, we have experienced, God does come through. And there is a story that I would like to relate to you. This was a real story. Someone saw it and then they actually wrote it down. We don't know who wrote it down. The author is not unknown. It took place in New Orleans. There was a girl or a young lady who was traveling from one place to another, and she had to change her transportation system. She was going by bus, and she had to get down in New Orleans and get into another bus. So when she got down at New Orleans, and then she was trying to get into another bus, she realized she didn't have her ticket. So she went into the bus and then told the driver, "I had the ticket, And this is my seat number, I remember very clearly, but I don't have the ticket. Can you just bear with me and let me in? So the driver was very cold-hearted. He had a stoned face on him. He did not care what she was saying. And he said, you know, you don't have a ticket, you cannot get into the bus. But she said, I don't know New Orleans at all. It's late in the night. I feel scared. Please don't do this to me. But he just wouldn't budge. He just kept on telling her, you know, if you it's your ticket was like your money. And would you be careless with your money? So if you were careless with your money, you were careless with your ticket, there is no way I can let you in. I don't know whether that was a protocol that he had to follow, but he was not willing to make any leeway. He was just strict on what he was saying. There were so many people who were standing there and none could do anything. No one was able to do anything. But if it was today, what would people do? They would take their phone and they would start recording what was going on. Right? I think this took place a long time ago, so they were not doing that. But there was this one gentleman who came up to the driver and said, why are you trying to do this to her? I mean, if you had a daughter, would you do that to her? I mean, he just brushed him off. The driver just brushed him off. He said, you know, just I'm getting late to go. You need to move out of my way. So he said, okay, here's what I will do. I will pay for her ticket. Can you accommodate? He said, no. In order for her to get into the thing, you need to go and get the ticket. It was late night. So I said, okay, can you please hold on? He said, there are other people who are traveling. I can only wait for a little. You need to rush. So he ran, got the ticket, and came and gave it to her, and also gave a little bit of money. And she started sobbing, obviously, right? Here is a strange man, doesn't know her at all, and then then finally she told him, she asked him, how can I repay? The kindness you have shown me tonight, we are strangers who won't meet again maybe. And she said, a mere thank you won't do it. And he said, what goes around comes around. This I have learned with over time. What you give, you will always get back. What you sow, you reap in kind. So what this story tells us is, whenever there is a situation where there's somebody in need, let's not look, I mean, if there is a way for us to come in and help, let us always do that. I mean, I'm sure these people never met again, but the satisfaction that this gentleman got in his life, I'm sure was immense. It was really great. And the scripture that Elder Butler read, I actually would like to go through the whole thing, Ezekiel 37, 1 to 10. But you know the story. We serve what kind of a God? An amazing God. A great God. Oftentimes I question him. Pardon me for this. I always ask him, Lord, really? Did you have to put up with this Lucifer, for 6,000 years? I would like to ask somebody, Jesse, if you encountered, let's say you're the boss, you encountered Lucifer and he did what he did to you 6,000 years ago, what would have you done? That's the obvious thing we would have done. You know, you're the boss, he's going against you, he's going over you, he wants your position. You'd say, hey, you're done, no more. But God has put up with this for 6,000 years. I have no clue as to why. I mean, you know, he is trying to show the other worlds that he is a merciful God, he is a kind God, but at our expense? Doesn't that make sense? He's doing it at our expense. But when I get there, he's going to show me, he's going to show all of you, why he did what he did. So there is no question about it. I mean, you can question him. Is he going to get mad at you? Absolutely not. Because he knows what we are going through, because that is the reason he came here, he lived, and then he died. So he's never going to get mad at you for questioning him. Right? There are situations where it's unbearable at some point. But God will come through and then show you someday why he did what he did. So if you look at the story of Ezekiel, you know, God came and showed him all these bones and asked him, hey, young man, do you think these bones can live? So Ezekiel said, you know, how do I know? You know. And then the story goes on, and then these bones came back to life. I mean, just imagine the power of God. If he can allow these dead bones and then bring them together, and then they would stand and be alive, why do we ever doubt God as to what he can accomplish in our lives? Right? We are human, and it is obvious that we will doubt, but the ultimate result is he will eventually come through and he will save us. I have one story which may become very personal to some of you. And this is about a man who was walking on a street. It was late in the evening, and it wasn't a safe place to walk in. So he was thinking, okay, and if he took the longer route, it was safer, but he thought, I cannot walk, it was too late, I'm going to take a shorter route, but then the shorter route was even more dangerous. So he said, okay, I'm going to take a chance, and then he went, and all of a sudden, he heard a woman screaming for help. And he said, what is going on here? So he realized this is a dangerous place. And then he says that he was not athletic in any way. He was not a courageous person in any way. Should I flee and keep myself safe, or take a risk and go and see what's happening? So he was, you know, his heart was racing, and eventually he thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take a chance and go and address this situation. So he went. And then, he was thinking about it, and then as the time went on, the young lady's voice became fainter and fainter. It started fainting away. So he thought, okay, this is time for me not to be waiting and thinking about it. I'm going to jump in and go. So he went behind the bushes. You know, he was walking on the road. There were some bushes, and the noise came from behind the bushes. And so he went in, and he saw a man trying to take advantage of a young girl. So he jumped on. I don't know. He doesn't know how he got this courage. He is not a courageous person. He is not probably a muscular person. But he jumped in, and then they both fell on the road. Ground, and they were rolling. And then the man got up and ran away. So I'm not sure as to what condition the child was in or the girl was in. So he pulled back, and then allowed her to get herself together. And after some time, when he realized that he had given her some time, he asked her, he told her, you know, things are okay. Your enemy is no more. He's run away. It is safe for you to come out. Okay. Then all of a sudden, from behind the bushes, there was this that the girl said. She said, Dad, is that you? And then from behind the bushes stepped out his youngest daughter. Her name was Catherine. What do you think this is talking to you about? Whenever there is a situation and there is a need, you do not think twice. You jump in and help. Right? Because this is what's happening in the world. I mean, this world has become a scary place. There is no concern. There is no love. So, you know, I was actually in, I was working in another school, and we used to rent that, our gym, to a Sunday school, a Sunday church. And I was walking there one day, and there was little, this little child, probably 9 years old. He said, he was talking to another girl. He said, "Oh, it's all about I, me, and myself." I don't know whether any of these kids say that. It was about I, me, and myself. And that's the kind of world we have lived. I mean, I don't think it is only today. You know, sometimes, maybe if I ask Mr. Mullen, he might say, the good old days. Did you ever have good old days? There was never a good old day. Think of Cain and Abel. Think of Jacob and Esau. Think of, I mean, any from the get-go, this world has been a bad place. Why is it a bad place? Who is in dominion over this world? It's Lucifer, the Lucifer. So, but through it all, there is the hope of God coming through. I always used to wonder, in Africa they used to say, some kids don't eat for weeks. But sometimes I know in the media I see, you know, they sing some songs and they jump around and they have fun. How do they do that? The Lord sustains us where we are. We are in this country where there is plentiful, and then we still complain, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have this, I don't have that. But there are places where there is nothing, but the children and people still thrive, are content with what they do. I would like to at this moment just put a young man on the spot. I would like to call Dylan Furch, if you would come over just for 2 minutes. Is Dylan here? Oh, he's not here. Anyway, until he comes. So, why I want him to come here is he went to do Youth Rush. Youth Rush is definitely a good program because it teaches children what life is about, how they can go forth, go out and help when there is need for help. And I think Dylan got involved in that during summer. I just want to ask him how things went for him. I didn't have time to tell him that I was going to call him because my assignment to speak to you this morning came pretty late in the evening. Anyway, if he comes, I'll give him an opportunity, but otherwise, let's keep going. You know, for us, the older folks, when do we see the power of God? When you look into the future, it sometimes looks bleak. It sometimes seems scary. In my life, how I have seen things working in my life is every time I look back. I look back in my life 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and then I say, Dylan, you would like to come over? Okay, I'm sorry for putting you on the spot, but I know you can handle it. All right. So, Dylan, you went for canvassing. You went to Youth Rush. How did you like it? Oh. Okay. Yeah. How did you like it?
It was really difficult, but it was a lot of fun at the same time. A lot of nice people that you get to meet.
Uh-huh. What do you think you took home after finishing the program? What did you take home? I mean, there are some young children, maybe, you know, they might want to do it in another 3, 4, 5 years, or maybe 10 years. What would you say to them?
I say it's a great experience and something that I think pretty much any young person should probably do. You get closer to God and your faith is increased because you don't know what's going to happen at the next door. Anything could happen. It could be an amazing experience where you feel the Holy Spirit or an angel there with you, or it could be a horrible experience where you're kicked out. So honestly, it's just putting your faith in God and believing that what is going to happen at the next door is going to be a good thing.
Yeah, so that's why I wanted you to hear from him, because it is not an easy thing. Because I did canvassing when I was 14 years old. It wasn't easy. I went to one house, one store actually, and the guy who just took me for a ride, he said, the boss is not there, the boss is not there. And then finally I found out that he was the boss. He was just giving me a run around because I was young. And finally it started raining one day. He said, you're trying to sell me things that are, you know, health related. He said, look at those kids. They're out there, you know, jumping in the mud and playing. I said, you know, those kids have immune system. I was 14. And then he said, I said, you don't have that. I said, I challenge you, you go and play there. Let's see what happens to you. And then he couldn't say anything anymore. He bought some books, and I just bought books just because he had to buy. Did you have any experience like that?
Not exactly the same as that, but I've had... On my second day canvassing, I had an experience with a man and a woman whose kids and grandkids were all being out of the church, and they had no choice, they couldn't reach them because they lived in another state, and they needed something so that they were able to reach out to their kids and grandkids, and they actually got a high book set. They got devotional books, they got Great Controversy, Desire of Ages, and our Blue Bible Story kids' books as well, to give to the grandkids.
Good. Thank you, Dylan. I'm sorry for putting you on the spot again. Okay, so like what I said, when do we see the hand of God in your life? Not when you look at the future and then it looks bleak. We look at God and when our hopes come up, when our strength comes on, is when we look back. Because sometimes when you think of a situation, we get angry as to why this happened a certain way. But when we look back, we say, the Lord was in it. Amen? So, as we said in the morning, you know, the world, the situation in the world doesn't look good, it looks bleak, it can get scarier, but the Lord has many stories for us in the Bible as to how he came through and took care of his children, and he is going to definitely do that for us. You know, I have worked in many schools, and this school here, I see a lot of need, financial, but at the same token, I feel the strength of, especially this church, willing to come forward and help kids who are in need. Tiffany May, Miss Somerville may agree to this. Mrs. Owens came, when did you come? Thursday? When did we have registration? Thursday, yes. She came, she brought a lot of stuff and told the teachers, you can eat whatever you want. Did you enjoy it, Miss Somerville? So, you know, those things really overwhelm me. I mean, you know, the need overwhelms me, but at the same time, when I see some people coming forward to help, that overwhelms me either. Because we just have not much time left. And if you want to hold on to everything that you have, we'll have to leave all of these and go up. So might as well make use of that. And utilize that for the benefit of the children whose parents want their kids in school. At the same time, make this church grow. We have to be on fire. You know, the Lord, at the time of need, the Lord did come upon his disciples, fill them with the Spirit, and they were on fire. And each one of you will be that way. It won't take long. It's going to be soon. But what I would like to leave with you is, when you go through difficult situations, don't ever doubt the Lord. He will definitely come through. Thank you so much once again.